Jerusalem. What comes to your mind when you hear the word Jerusalem? The city of David? Zion? How about the temple that's not there, the old walls? What about not too far away, Via Dolorosa, the street where our Lord carried the cross? Not too far away, Golgotha, and just a little bit further, the tomb where the rock has been rolled away and the resurrection has occurred? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, listen to the psalmist and think about Jerusalem this morning. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king. Within her citadels, God has shown himself a sure defense. For lo, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic, they took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in travail. By the east wind thou didst shatter the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God establishes forever. We have thought on thy steadfast love, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As thy name, O God, so thy praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is filled with victory. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Go round about her. Number her towers. Consider her well her ramparts. Go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our God forever. What a beautiful psalm. And then quickly to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city which is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you, peace within your walls and security within your towers. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Jerusalem. For me, and maybe for you, and for millions of others at times, goosebumps come on our skin. When we're in those certain frames of memory and mood and think about Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, that city that is set on a hill, that was to be the light of Zion for all the world to see and to come to. One of my last memories in Tehran, Iran, was sitting around our dining room table, Joanne and I and our four children, and the family of a Palestinian Arab Christian. There they were, he and his wife and two small children, sitting around our table in Tehran. And we were talking about Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. And he was saying to me, oh, how I want to go back. Oh, I wish I could go back where my father left our house and our land back a long time ago. Oh, I would like to smell the olive groves, and I'd like to touch the ground and feel the rocks and the stones. Oh, my homeland. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, I would like to go back. And I saw tears swell in their eyes. Not too far away, I'd gone down to a little Jewish synagogue in Tehran, always trying to make friends and share Christ with people in that land that was so difficult. And one of my Jewish friends would tell me, oh, if I could just go back to Jerusalem, though it's not too bad living under the Shah of Iran in that day, oh, if I could go back to Jerusalem, oh, I would like to go back to the temple walls. But I can't, because if I do, I would have to leave all of my possessions in Iran, because the law says if I go back to Jerusalem, I cannot take my monies with me. And then not too far away from that scene, thinking about old Jerusalem, my good friend who I talked to endlessly about Christ, the Magi, the wise man, and how he would tell me that story over and over again, though it was not his story. It was a story of history, seemingly far away, and yet he told the story with energy and enthusiasm. He would say, you know our story, the wise men. I would say, yes, I do. From the New Testament, I know the story. Is it like that in the New Testament, your story? And he would say, yes, it is. He would tell me about getting on the camel, going across the deserts, getting to Jerusalem, going to see King Herod. King Herod saying, when you see this little baby that's going to be born, tell me so I can follow the star and come and worship him. And the wise men said, we were not about to tell King Herod. And we backed out of the palace, giving the proper bows. And we finally found our way to little Bethlehem, where the Christ child lay. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem mean to all of us? What does it mean to the Jews? Can you have a feeling for the Jews who still think about Jerusalem? Those who live there and those who are far away. They must think about King David, the shepherd king, that story of little David who slew the giant Goliath and finally became the king of mighty Israel and established Jerusalem there. Or they would think of King Solomon who built the wall, who had all of these alliances with the nations around the Middle East of that day. Oh, King Solomon. Or they might think of foreign domination. It may be that Psalm 48 may just be talking about those Assyrians, the King Sennacherib types who came in and dominated from time to time these precious precincts of the Jews. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. Yes, a lot of history, a pageant of history surrounding Jerusalem for the Jews. And what about religion? Oh, it was a place of religion for them. It was a temple. But notice Psalm 48, even though it mentions a temple and it says, walk around and see the ramparts and see the citadel and measure the pathways. Beneath it all, in Psalm 48, we see the words God and peace, love. This is a God forever and forever. This is the God who will be our guide forever, Psalm 48 tells us. It was a place of religion for the Jew. In fact, Daniel, far away, Babylonia, the King Nebuchadnezzar lineage, having his ups and downs and trials and tribulations away from Jerusalem, away from home, one day went into his house and looked out the window as if he could see Jerusalem, and he knelt down and prayed toward Jerusalem. Daniel, homesick, reminding him of all of those emotions and God's protection and God's love in Jerusalem. Home. I could read for you Psalm 137. Oh Lord, how can I sing the song in a foreign land? Oh, Jerusalem, if I were to forget you, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue press against the roof of my mouth. Oh, Jerusalem, if I forget you, don't let me place anything above my highest joy of Jerusalem. So the psalmist says in 137. And so the Jew looks at Jerusalem with tremendous history and looks at Jerusalem with religion and looks at Jerusalem as a home. But there is more about Jerusalem. There is more about that place and its meaning. Just as my Christian friend in the living room in Tehran, tears coming down his eyes, saying, oh, I wish I could go home. What was in his mind? It may very well have been the same thing in the mind of our Lord, who one day toward the end of his life in Palestine came around the Mount of Olives. In Luke 19, verse 41 tells it all. Jesus looks toward Jerusalem just over from the Mount of Olives, and he thinks about all those possibilities that could have been. After all, just prior to his coming to the Mount of Olives, the disciples have gone out and gotten a colt, prepared to ride it. He's going to be the king in their mind. And Jesus looks over at Jerusalem, and what does he say in Luke 17, 41? He looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He cried. He shed tears over it. The same thing happened in Matthew 23. When Jesus had preached from his heart and his life, knowing what was coming, "Woe to you, you who preach but do not practice," he says. "Woe to you who put heavy burdens on the shoulders of the people all around you, but you're not willing to take the load yourself." Oh, how often, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that cast stones at the prophets. And he could have gone on and said, "You who will crucify me." O Jerusalem, what does it mean to the Jew and to the Christian? What does it mean to us today, Jerusalem? It probably means something like this to us, not forgetting what the psalmist has said about Jerusalem being a great city, a city of light, a city of peace, a city of love. But remember what Psalm 48 says in those last several verses. The key to it to me is, listen, whatever Jerusalem means, you tell the other generations to come. You know yourself, but you tell the other generations to come that God is a God forever and ever, and He shall be our God forever. The last time I was in Jerusalem, these words jumped out at me. They haunted me at times. I looked for love. I looked for peace. And I saw glimpses of it. At the old Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, the crumbled stone of the temple that was so glorious for the Jews in that day, I looked over and I saw the Jews praying. And I saw them putting little pieces of paper in niches in the old wall. And I thought I could hear them say, "O Messiah, come. O Messiah, come." They did not know that the Messiah had come. And then I walked up those steps and looked down at the Jews from that height, still praying for the coming of Messiah. And I thought I could hear on the Temple Mount the Muslims praying to Allah from where they thought that Muhammad had ascended to heaven a long time ago. And I saw Muslims going up the steps with me as I looked back on the Jews, and I thought to myself, what distrust, what suspicion, sometimes what anger. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city of love, a city of peace. And then I paused. And then I thought. I was an old third baseman at Wake Forest College here. Not a whole lot of skill, but a lot of determination. Old third baseman can throw the ball pretty hard down to first base. Dr. Patterson and I are similar that way. We get out there on the tennis courts, and he's got a whole lot more skill than I've got. But we play, we exercise, we want to get the best job done out there and have fun. And I thought to myself up there on the Temple Mount, as I was looking at the Jews and hearing the Muslims and thinking about my Christian friend around the table in Tehran some years ago, and I thought, it's not far away. Oh, Jerusalem, it's not far away. Because Golgotha is not far away. If I could throw a baseball, a good third baseman, maybe I could make it bounce and hop and skip and finally get down to Golgotha, to Calvary, where my Lord was crucified for me. And for those Jews who are offering those prayers in those little niches in the wall. And for those Muslims, I can faintly hear, "Allah Akbar." And then I thought, that's not enough. Because the psalmist has told us, love and peace, tell the next generation, oh, Jesus prayed, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And it's not too far. Or if I were a big hitter, if I could just not be a singles man as I was, if I could just hit a home run, I maybe from that Temple Mount could hit a home run all the way over there to God, to the tomb where the door has been burst wide open. And my Lord and the Lord of the world has come out to be resurrected and has ascended to heaven and says, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto myself. Can all of that go on in our minds in the flash of a moment standing there inside Jerusalem? And then I thought to myself, our Lord did say this. The woman at the well, when she thought that's where the temple might be, or it was down in Jerusalem, Jesus said to her, you don't need to worship me here necessarily, nor Jerusalem. But wherever you are, my spirit is omnipresent. You will worship me in spirit and in truth. This Jerusalem I'm talking about today is certainly there. It's there physically in all of its contours and its lines and its beauty and all that the Jews might expect and the Muslims might expect and Christians might expect. But let me take you to one more Jerusalem. I shall never forget the time being away from this native land of mine for 4 years without seeing grandparents and parents and friends and visiting my church. And that big old jet zoomed in and hit down at Dulles Airport from Tehran, Iran. And I got it on the tarmac, and I could hardly constrain myself. And I reached down, and I touched that old dirty asphalt. Couldn't wait till I got home to a little town called Emporia, Virginia. After all, Emporia was my Jerusalem. That was my church. They were the people who had nurtured this little boy and this teenager and helped him understand God's will. And those Sunday school teachers that had taught about the wise men and King Cyrus and King Darius and King Artaxerxes in the Old Testament, they had nurtured me and they'd grown up. They were my parents' surrogate. And I couldn't wait to get to my little town and touch the earth where we'd raise gardens, beans and potatoes, and go to church and see the folk and see where I was baptized. And where they all gathered their arms around me as I came out of the waters and welcomed me into the life of the church, a new creature under Christ. And then how I talked to those Sunday school teachers who had taught me. And all those memories flooded. This was my little Jerusalem. Tell the next generation that God is a God forever. And He shall be a guide for you. How can I sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Let us not forget our Jerusalems. Let's not forget the Jerusalem that Jesus wept over. Let's not forget those places that come and flood our minds with special memories and hopes that have been a part of all of our lives, the church. And let us remember that Jerusalem was meant to be a place, an experience of love and of peace. But more than that, it was to be the message that spoke loud and clear that God is our God forever, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who wept over Jerusalem and wanted to gather it all around Him as a mother gathers her chicks. That's the Jerusalem we have today. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Braswell. I'd never thought about it before, but you know it's true. And go to Jerusalem, visit the Temple Mount, where there ought to be peace, perhaps the greatest symbol of division that you could ever find anywhere, with the Muslims up on top of the Temple Mount and the Jewish people down at the Western Wall, and all neglecting Calvary just a few feet away. A wonderful, wonderful message, and we appreciate it so much. In a minute, we're going to stand for our concluding prayer. I do want to tell you what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to have an interesting chapel tomorrow. You may want to pass the word around. The president's going to speak on the subject, does God have anything to say about interracial marriage? Now, you say, well, why on earth would you do something like that on the last chapel of the year? For one thing, it'll get you here. More importantly, the message will be a restatement of what I understand to have always been the position of this seminary regarding racism, and a restatement of it because it's going to be the position of this seminary with regard to racism for the foreseeable future. And I hope always until the Lord comes back. But there are some reasons why it needs to be stated. And so the president, with the help of the Lord, I hope, is going to attempt to restate that tomorrow in no uncertain terms. And so please come and be here. Invite your friends to come. Anybody that doesn't agree with the president, you invite them to come too. And one of two things will happen. Either I'll persuade them, or else I'll meet them after it's over out behind the chapel. One of the two. And so we'll have a good time tomorrow in chapel on our last chapel session of this year. Well, you're precious, and I appreciate you so much. And thank you, musicians, for doing so wonderfully today. And thank you, George Braswell, for challenging us and inspiring us, as you always do. Let's stand together, please, for our closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the message of your prophet as he reminded us again of the importance of those things in our lives that have monumentally shaped and changed us. Lord, bless him and thank you for the opportunity that we have to study with him and learn at his feet. And then, Father, today as we go our way from this chapel, we go to a very busy and a highly pressured time in the lives of students and their families. And I pray that at this time you would sustain them and help them in the way that they may get all that is expected of them accomplished. And then, Lord, give us a wonderful respite and a time of recreation and of inspiration until we come back together again to study. So thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.